fall down, that's cool too.
Campfire's dangerous.
Yeah, stay away from that fire, huh? I had somewhat of a lesson planned. And after Friday night, I realized this is not what I would like to teach on. Well, speech on, I should say, because it's not really planned. Who was at Friday night's premiere of God's Not Dead? Yeah, me too. I absolutely love that movie. And so I realized that I was going about my religion wrong when I saw that movie. And you guys might think, that's really silly. You know, it's just a movie. But it had an amazing lesson to it. I realized that I more or less might have been hiding my religion. And everybody knows I'm a Christian. I mean, my dad's the preacher. Well, not the preacher, but you know what I mean. Everybody at my school knows that. All of my friends know that. And yet they don't see that through me all the way. When they ask me for help, I do go and I tell them, well, you know, I don't want to preach to you, but when I had that problem, I looked it up in the Bible and, you know, this verse really helped me with that and such. And, you know, they're like, oh, okay, whatever. But it's not like I don't offer to pray for them. I don't constantly look at them and say, you know, God loves you. You know, you're so beautiful. And like, I don't constantly shine. And I think a lot of us have the problem with that, is that we try to be something the world wants us to be. It's like we always want to be accepted. That's just a natural feeling. Everybody wants to be accepted. But I think what we need to understand is that God accepts us as we are. He accepts us where we are. And I think it took me a long time to understand that, because even when I was little, I never really felt beautiful. And I would always look at my friends and be like, oh, you're so beautiful. Oh my gosh, your hair looks so pretty today, you know? And like, I guess I told them that because I wanted them to tell me that. They never caught on. They never did. They're just like, oh, thanks. You know, I mean, they're my friends. And so, my parents always told me, oh, you're really beautiful. And I guess I just never felt that way. And recently I have been looking up different scriptures in the Bible that tells me how beautiful I am and how much God loves me. And from about a week or two, I know I'm beautiful. From a lifetime of trying to find acceptance and affirmation from other people to know that I'm beautiful and that I'm worthy and that, you know, oh, you're so funny and amazing. It was right there in a Bible. Like, I could have just opened it up at any time and read that. And seeing that just opening a Bible can change your life has affected me greatly. Cutest baby. Anyways. And so, she's beautiful. But that's something I also wanted to encourage you guys to do. And on top of that, memorize those verses. Don't just read it and be like, oh, that's cool. You know, I feel so much better, and shut the Bible. Try to memorize it. That way you can help other people who are going through the same problem as with you, like as you. I can't quote one. So, you know, I still have some work to do, but I have been able to. Okay. When I was in sixth or seventh grade, we had a youth group in a church called North Point, and it was when Engaging Life and North Point were separate. I remember Michelle Johnson, I was talking to her and I kept telling her, you know, I just wish I was, you know, skinnier. I had prettier hair. You know, I wish I didn't have acne on my face. And I remember she gave me a scripture. It was Zephaniah 3:17. I've never been able to fully memorize Bible verses, but I remembered that. It told me how beautiful I was and how God rejoices over us with singing. And I can't remember half the verses in the Bible. You know, John 3:16. Oh, got that one down. But it's like having her, somebody who meant a lot to me and I trusted, tell me that. And I read it. I believed it. And not only because it was in the Bible and because it's what God said about me, but because she believed it in herself as well. and I see people older than me. Yes, a lot of them are in a lot better places than I am, but that doesn't mean I can't get there. And that doesn't mean that I could be even better. And I'm not trying to say to be better than people. All I'm saying is to better yourself, to look to God so that he can look at you and say how proud he is of you. I always have that little voice in the back of my head, and I think all of us get it. And I mainly have two. I have mine. I have one that says, no, put more makeup on. No, you need a little bit more right there. No, stop. That's way too much. Oh my gosh, wipe it off. And then I have the other one saying, the same one. Why are you wearing that? Oh my gosh, you look like a beached whale. Hurry, change. And then I have the other one saying, what are you doing? You're so beautiful. Why do you even own makeup? And I can't help but feel like sometimes that other voice is God. I always have these little moments where he just tells me to do something. In the Dominican, it was to give my shoes to some kid. And I did it. And I had to wear floppy guy shoes for the rest of the day. But I find that listening to my voice, it hurts me so bad. It makes me feel like nothing. It makes me feel like I have to do so much in order to be accepted by one person. By two people, maybe. It's like I have to look so perfect. I have to work so hard to be what I want to be, what society wants me to be. And then there's that other voice that says, you're already what I want and more. And I found that on my missions trip, to be completely and utterly true. I remember I was playing with the kids, and one of them looked at me, and she's like, you're so pretty. And I was like, oh, thank you. And she goes, no, I mean, like, you're gorgeous. And I'm like, oh, thank you. I didn't really know how to respond to this. I've never been called that by a kid. And she's like, can I touch your hair? And I'm like, sure. And so she starts playing with my hair and stuff. And suddenly I feel her, like, pulling on it. And I'm like, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm putting it in a ponytail. I'm like, what? You're putting my hair in a ponytail. She's like, yeah. And so all of her friends came over and they all are grabbing their ponytails and putting it in my hair. I ended up having like everywhere. Like there was like one like sticking all the way up like this because they put like four rubber bands on it. So it was just pew. And I'm looking at him and I'm like, looks great. Looks great, guys. And they're all laughing and joking and clapping at themselves, you know, and they're all smiling. And I couldn't help think that that's how God looks at me. He's sitting there and he's seeing how I'm doing all this crazy stuff to me. And I'm like, oh, look how beautiful I look. And he's like, yeah, okay. You know, and like, it just kind of clicked with me when they did that. And yes, I'm proud to say I did take them out. Within 5 minutes, I was like, all right, you showed everybody, hurry, get them out. Like, I had all these little ridges in my hair. But, you know, having a bunch of little kids look at you and tell you how beautiful you are and how amazing you are and how funny you are and how strong you are because you can pick them up, you know? I mean, I really think that God gave me the gift to be good with children because they give me such a joy. And I know that for a lot of people, it's just, you know, being around other people. Maybe it's just being alone. Maybe it's being with one person. I know for me, it's being with kids. Because I feel the best about myself when I see God working through kids and I see them all laughing and joking and such. And not only does that make me feel beautiful, it makes me feel loved to know that God through kids tells me how loving and amazing I am, you know? And I'm not saying go work with a bunch of kids because it's dangerous, but find something that you can look at and you can see God, whether it be your kids. Maybe I see God through my parents every day, you know, or be that window that people see God through. Because I know my kids don't purposely, not my kids, the kids I teach. I know they don't purposely try to do it. But when they smile at you and they're lost like half their teeth and they're just, I mean, and they tell you how much they love you. It's hard to not see Jesus. And so be that window that people see God through. Because you're amazing. The Bible said so. God said so. God said that we all are his sons and daughters, that we are amazing, that we were created in his image, and yet we all are different. We all have gifts and talents, and God wants to use them all to honor him. So be God's window and open your Bibles and memorize it. I'll work on it too. So, all right.
Amen. That's just, just getting to know, just seeking God, reading your Bible. When she says those kind of things, when you say that kind of thing, it makes it, make everything you do, the church helping us go on a trip, and all the things that we do just become so much clearer that our lives can be centered and focused on what God's doing. You know, so many times we make a commitment, and our commitment, for whatever reason, sometimes becomes selfish. We commit to finding God or doing God's thing because it's good for us. And that's a good place to start sometimes, but we're talking about if you have a commitment and it's more about what you can get from your relationship with God, it's somewhat in the wrong direction. It's actually not what God intended at all. It's a commitment to self again. And then remember, we watched the movie. It was an awesome movie here Friday. And God's not dead. I saw so many people committed to God as long as I didn't have to fail a class or it wouldn't ruin my career. The family, his parents turned his back on him and told him that, oh yeah, you're a Christian, but just sign the paper and let's keep going. And then so many people living committed lives that were Christian but not really committed. I have a verse in Psalms 119. So sometimes we have this commitment and it's more like, what can God do for me? And the commitment makes it more like, I'm praying for God to do this in my life. I'm praying for God to do that. And unfortunately, I know people that are consumed with what God's going to do for them. And they forget that we're here to do for others. And as we do for others, that saying, it's better to give than receive, comes to mind. I'm like, it is so much better. It is so much better. Giving is the best place we can be. And that's what God's doing for us. He wants to give us his love, peace, and joy. He wants to give us a life. But how do we do that? It always, like, we come to church and we're like, well, God didn't give me my answer. God didn't do this. God. And it's because we're just trying. This commitment is about what God can do for me. But we have some scripture that's not working out up there. Can we get to work? Yeah, it's okay. All right. Psalms. Yeah. We'll take it from the top. Psalm 119, 9 through 16. How can a young person stay on a path of purity? By living according to your word. And me and Kay didn't talk, so she just kind of confirmed that. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commandments. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. Can you roll down? With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. What David's talking about is a commitment that looks more like seeking God, a commitment to seek God, a commitment to find out who God is and to get into the word, to pray, to declare his name, to declare who he is, to worship, and to let people know that this is the God that saved me. This is what I'm about. I'm about what God is about. I'm about what God's doing. So many times we want to define ourselves. God gave me this. God gave me that. God's given me so much. I was Friday. I was talking to a fella, and he goes, "New roof? Yeah, I'll send it to your house." I go, all the shingles? He goes, yeah, yeah, I'll send it. Give me your address. And he was more interested in getting my address so he can get the shingles on my house. I was like, well, I just told you I need a new roof. He goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. Somebody else, I had shingles for another house. They didn't want it, and I just want to give it to you. And I'm like, you know, you're thinking that I prayed. Of course I prayed. I said, God, the old shingles are gone. We need some new ones. But you go, you put it in God's hands and say, God, here it is. I'm doing the best I can. And then he answers. And he starts working in our lives. He starts doing things. He brings youth, he brings them to the face-to-face with what they're supposed to be doing. He tells them, hey, look, see that kid that's messing around? And Preston told him God loves him. I mean, that's what we start doing, what God wants to do. We start seeking God. If Preston was here at home in his neighborhood playing, he probably wouldn't have told the kid, God loves you. But he decided, hey, I'm going to go see what's going on. And maybe sometimes it is a thing of what can God do for me. But then we realize that that's not what it's all about at all. It's about what God can do through us. And that we can seek him. And that we make it a purpose in our heart. What David was talking about, how can a young man find his way? He's like, we're not sure it was David, but it was probably David. How can a young man find his way? Because we're seeking God. When we're old, young, it doesn't matter. We just need to make a commitment to seek God. To seek God, God's way. Not our way, not in the things that we think. Pray and ask God for a roof. Pray and ask God for a car. Pray and ask God for the things we need, but focus on what God wants to do, that relationship. Seek him. Build that relationship. And that's where we need to be as church, as Christian. We saw the movie. The whole family was more focused on getting through class than who God is. And so many times we do that. And KK was talking about, that's just what we think. We're sitting back. We don't want to be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. But the truth is that if we're not heavenly minded, we are no earthly good. That's the truth. That's the truth. Me and Kevin were talking about that the other day. You're not going to do any good for this world if you're just thinking about the bills, the things. Sure, we need to do that. Sure, we need to do what God's called us to do and be responsible and be thoughtful people doing the right things. But in the way God wants, where God wants us to do, putting the things in his hand. Saying, God, here's everything. And I'm going to seek you. And I'm going to commit to seek you. Not commit to just be a Christian that does, you know, a couple things. But commit to seek God till you find him. Decide that I'm going to find God in my life, period. I'm not going to stop till I find God. And then sometimes it'll be a mission trip he'll call us to. Sometimes it'll be something around the thing. We were cutting grass. For people, we're cutting their lawn, picking up garbage from the streets, and it touched people because they saw that we were there just to do whatever it takes to make their place look better. Sometimes it will be mowing the lawn. It will be going to work. It will be those kind of things sometimes. And sometimes God will tell us to do that to be a testimony and a witness. And we need to be ready to do that. We need to want to do that, whatever God's doing, and not so much. We all want to be the worship leader. We all want to be the, in youth, I'm talking youth. Everybody wants to be the worship leader. Everyone wants to do this. Everyone wants to do this. But God's called us all to something different. He's called us all to be part of what he's doing. He wants us to seek him and make it a point to seek him and make it our life's desire to seek him. Just like David was talking about in the thing to hide his words in our heart, to memorize it, not just to know it, but to memorize it. I'd like to call all the youth up. Any youth here, part of our group, not part of our group, just come up. And the kids too. I'd like to y'all just come up to the altar. And I just want us as a church to realize that the commitment to seek God is everything. The commitment to seek God is what it's all about. Past youth, graduated youth, going to college. Praise God. And you guys just stay right here. I want the church to come on up, and I want everybody to pray for our youth to just pray that they'll have a commitment to seek God. And then, as you're coming, as you're praying, remember you can pray for yourself too, to commit to seek God, to make that our priority, to make that where we live, that what we're about, committed to seek God. Not just seeking God for the things He'll give us. And He'll give you things. I told you that. But be committed to seek Him. Dear Lord Jesus, we praise You and thank You, Your God and King. Lord, I pray that You'll bless our teens, God. We pray that they'll see the need to seek You. And that they'll commit to that need and commit to that relationship. Lord, I praise You and thank You for the things that You're doing and the people that are already changed and the youth that already are seeking You. I pray that that'll be a lifelong commitment. Lord, I pray there'll be a commitment for the rest of our lives. Lord, a commitment to wake up every morning and read our Bibles, to pray every day, maybe even three times a day, whatever You have. Lord, I pray that we'll make commitments that are real, commitments to know God. Lord, I thank You that You called us to be who You want us to be. You called us to just live for You, God. I thank You that we can just look to You now and ask You to help us be committed, to seek You. Seek You till we find You, Lord. Whatever it takes, whatever's in the way, that to move it out of the way, whatever time it takes to give You the time to do it, Lord, I praise You and thank You. Praise You and thank You that we have a church that is committed to youth, committed to raising youth up in Your presence, in Your honor and glory. Lord, I pray that You'll bless this church. You'll bless this church over and over for all the things they've done. Lord, we thank You and praise You for the things You've given us in this building and resources that are just hard for us to imagine to redo, Lord. We thank You that this is a church that cares about You and a church that cares about its youth. Lord, I pray that You bless them right now. Lord, I pray that we just begin to seek You in the way that You want. Lord, that we be filling up the Bible studies. Lord, that we be filling up prayer times. And that it would just be the most important thing that we can ever do. We praise You and thank You. Help us seek You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.